All right, guys, we'll get right into it today. We're going to start out with you, Pete. As you would probably be able to see if you had a camera in the studio today, my TV screens are tuned into a couple of big sporting events. We got the European Championships on one screen. I got the U.S. Open final round on the other screen. And later tonight, I believe, and last night at the very least, there were some U.S. Olympic trials going on. I've been having a ton of fun watching a lot of these kind of outside of the core four sports recently, at least American core four sports. You've got golf, you've got soccer, you've got all of the fun Olympic events with Paris coming up later this summer. So, Pete, my question for you, outside of those big four sports championships, what's your favorite large sporting event? Have we got the Masters, the Olympics, Wimbledon? Is there something else? Is it a big F1 race? What do you look for outside of those big four sports championships?
You know, I love that you said cricket. At that last minute there, but it's not. You know, I am such a traditionalist when it comes to that kind of stuff that I swear to you, it's very difficult for me to get out of what I really, really love. So I'll tell you, I think there is something really special, and I know you want me to go somewhere else, but I'd say the Olympics to me is just one of the coolest things in the world because it is every 4 years. These are quote-unquote amateur athletes to some degree, and it's sports and different events that we never see except for every 4 years. So I think that's what makes it so special for me. That's what I love. And I love track and field and all that during the Summer Olympics. I mean, it's incredible.
Yep. And Dave, you got one?
You know, I mean, I'm an Olympics guy a lot.
Summer or winter for you? I know Pete is definitely a summer guy, right?
I'm more of a winter Olympics person, but I really do. I love everything that Pete said about the Olympics. It's amateur athletes. It's these young men and women who have dedicated their life to this and don't make the giant paycheck that some professionals do. So I don't want to steal the same one. So I'll actually say U.S. Open. I do like watching golf
over the Masters. The thing I like about those other golf tournaments is they switch courses. It's fun. It's a different course every year. The Masters, yeah, it's a cool course and everything, but it's the same course every year. I don't know.
My problem with golf though in the season is because if it's a beautiful day outside, I'm not inside watching golf. I mean, that's just the truth. And I know some people probably think that's crazy. Like, why don't you watch sports all the time? It should be everything. If it's a nice day outside, I want to be outside.
Yeah.
Maybe not golfing, but, so like yesterday it was raining. I caught a little bit of it. You know, I watched a little golf here and there. We watched the Stanley Cup final last night because it was, it was not a night we could get on the boat. So, I mean, if it's rainy weather, I'll watch sports. But if it's a beautiful day, and it often is during the summertime around here, I'm taking advantage of it.
Yeah. You should. Well, yesterday, like you said, was a good day to catch some golf. I watched quite a bit yesterday on a rainy Saturday afternoon here in the Twin Cities. We'll stick on the Olympics here because I was watching that last night as well, and I watched the great Katie Ledecky qualify for yet another Olympics in the swimming pool, the 400 freestyle. Of course, it's foregone conclusion that she is going to be in multiple events. She is going for potentially the greatest female Olympian of all time if she can continue her absolute dominance in the pool. Pete, we already know about your absolute love for the track and field events and track athletes, but Dave, I want to know your favorite Olympian of all time, winter, summer, any event.
Man, that's a tough question. That's by the way, can I add really quick? Have you ever tried to swim 400 meters? I mean, it is hard.
Oh, yeah.
Like, brutal.
People don't know how big those Olympic swimming pools are. I mean,
it's incredible. And then you're like, you're halfway through. You're like, I still have all that to go. Gosh. My favorite Olympian of all time, probably that I covered, and is John Schuster, Olympic curling team skip for many years. I mean, I got to know him, so that helped. But if they were doing a movie, his character arc could be written about. It was perfect. You know, in 2014, he's the skip of the team, and they fail miserably, and he'd be the first to tell you this. And they go out in 2018, and after 2014, he's out of the U.S. High Performance Program. And then he and the group that he's with, or some of the guys that he's with now, kind of fight their way back for the 2018 games. And they go out, they start terribly again, and then they have this huge turn to win gold. And I like John personally. I loved all the guys on that team. They were nice. They were great to work with. But you just couldn't help but root for them. You know, John was the guy that took a lot of the blame in 2014. It was not all his fault. And he just got out. He was outcast. And then he worked his way back, him and, his ragtag bunch of guys. And for them to go out and win gold like they did, it was incredible. To me, that's my favorite Olympic moment. And he's arguably my favorite Olympian simply because I also appreciated the fact that he gave me great access to what they were doing. John was not John would probably be the first to tell you that when he started, early in his Olympic career, didn't love doing media.
Yeah.
But he got really good at it, and I feel very grateful that he trusted me enough to tell a lot of his stories. And so his character art was great. I'm surprised they haven't done a movie yet. They may at some point. It's just fantastic story.
Well, I was going to say, Dave, I think we got your first book with your passion and inside knowledge here.
You know what? That would be fun. Down. John and I have talked. I did joke with him once that if they ever make a movie, just give me like a bit role where I can be reporter number 5 and yelling like, John, what happened today? You guys are at the bottom of the bracket now. You know, he said he would do that, but the movie hasn't come out.
Pete, you got a favorite Olympian?
You know, Usain Bolt is, I think, just an incredible personality, and he was fun, and he was the fastest man in the world for so long, and incredible to watch. Great so he call. Was pretty cool. I have to say my very favorite of all time, and no, not too many people probably even remember him, but I was a high hurdler in high school, and I actually ran at the University of Minnesota for a little while as well. I'll tell you what, Ronaldo Nehemiah was the most incredible athlete I have ever seen, and it's because I understood what that side of that particular, sport or event was with the high hurdles. It isn't easy, guys. I mean, it's amazing. But when you get that smooth and you run the way Ronaldo did, and he had a little bit of a run with the 49ers, not a huge thing, but he played football, which he had never done before. So I just think the guy was one of the most incredible athletes I had ever seen. Now, I didn't get to see some of the older guys but I tell you what, Ronaldo Nehemiah was special.
Those are some good answers. I like
that's
that.
Neither
of those were anything of what I would have expected. So
I got to see Usain Bolt run one race in Rio, his last race ever. Let me tell you, that guy, watching it on TV doesn't do justice just how incredibly quick he is.
And how tall he is. For the height that he had,
so
nobody's that tall in the 100 meters. Yeah. Nobody. 200's a little different. But the 100, to be that tall, to come out of the blocks and still catch up and get past all those other guys, unreal.
All right, Pete, we'll move on here. The NBA Championship Series and the Stanley Cup Finals are looking like mirror images of each other to this point. A superior team, in this case both the Panthers and the Celtics, going up 3-0 before taking their foot off the gas and getting absolutely blown out in Game 4. Mm-hmm. But I think we can all probably see where these series are going. They're all, both at 3-1. Celtics and Panthers are winning in those series. I, for one, haven't really even watched a full game of either. It's been blowouts and kind of uninteresting games for the most part. Mm-hmm. Pete, what can these leagues do to gin up a little bit of extra interest going forward? Because I feel like I'm not alone in this respect that is just kind of bored with these two series right now. And I don't want to be. I want to be able to watch these and have fun and have some excitement. But I don't have that right now. Is there anything that the leagues can do? Or is it just a matter of what teams make it that year?
Yeah, you know what? I think it does come down to who actually gets there. And I think that's exactly right, Charlie. It's interesting because the NHL, I took a look at this earlier. Their watch list, their 1.3 million viewers that they've had, that's up 14% this year. So the NHL is doing something right when it comes to that one. But to your point, I'm looking over at the NBA. Why are people not watching? It's down 9% year over year. 9%, guys. And that has to speak to who the teams are and whether or not they're really well-liked or not. And I just look at Dallas and I think, you know what? How many people really can name, even just after the first two players, who can you name? And it's like, well, I'm not really sure. Even guys like us who pay attention to a lot of different sports, we probably can't really name the top five guys on the Dallas team. We know more about the Boston team. So they've got to figure out a way to get the right teams in there. I don't, they can't manipulate that, but that's what's hurting them, I think, at this particular, in the finals themselves. They just don't have the same recognition that they usually have.
Change the game times, please.
That's another thing.
You have the start of the playoffs, and I don't know what the perfect answer is. But the reason why, you know, these West Coast teams like Dallas and frankly, the Timberwolves, we're not West Coast, but that, you know, the different time zones.
Western Conference, yeah.
You can't watch it. You can't get attached to a team early and watch them through the entire playoffs because the games start at 10 o'clock at night.
Yep.
Or night, you know, I mean, it's not the same as it used to be where you could start. Now, I'll back up. The reason the NHL playoffs are up this year over last year is because Edmonton and Connor McDavid are in it. Connor McDavid is by far, I think for my money, the best player in the game today. There's 100%. People that say others. I think he's just fantastic. And so you've got Edmonton, who's got so much stars, has not won a cup in a really, 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 really long time, with possibly the biggest star in the game. So that's why they're there. But I really, truly think NBA and NHL to a degree, when these games start at 9 o'clock at night, nobody is going to be able to watch the whole thing unless you're in a very small portion of the country. And I just think that that's a huge miss. And I think that's one of the reasons why people are not attached to a team throughout the whole playoffs and then watching it through to the end because they missed the first round or three of the games in the first round.
Why have they not figured that out, guys? Honestly, like how is it that they continue to fumble on this whole thing? And I go all the way back to the Pac-12. Why did the Pac-12? Why is that the one conference that absolutely just disintegrated? I'll tell you why. They were stubborn and they refused to move the times of those games. And the people on the East Coast were not going to watch a Cal-UCLA game at 11 o'clock at night, right? I mean,
you have to play to the East Coast. You're right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where people are.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good point. We'll move on to this last one. We're running a little behind.
Okay.
I think it's Dave here on the last question.
Sure. Sounds good.
The great Charles Barkley announced his retirement from NBA broadcasting at the end of the 24-25 season. Somehow an NBA Hall of Famer as a player ended up arguably being even more beloved in the broadcast booth. With the sad passing of Bill Walton a couple weeks ago, Charles Barkley now retiring, it seems like some new retired players should consider going into the booth and seeing what they got. So my question, Dave, what player do you think would make the best broadcaster right now? I would ask to start in the NBA, but if you got answers outside of that, I'll take that as well.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, I'll say let me start with NFL because I think that's the easy one. I'd like to see. I think Greg Olson does a nice job. I know our friend Kyle Rudolph has started in the booth, and I think he's fantastic. I really like him. I'd like to see more of him. On the basketball side, gosh, I mean, what I loved about Barkley was his honesty. You know, he and Shaq and Kenny, like, they just don't pull punches. They call it like they see it. They back it up, and they say, you know what? You don't like this. I'm going to say it anyway. So I haven't seen enough. I'll tell you who I don't want to see more of, Reggie Miller. I'll pass on him. Thank you very much. I mean, he clearly plays his favorites, and that's fine. I guess I don't know who takes that spot when I think about it. You know, I mean, we're lucky locally. Jim Pete's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I think Jim Pete does a great job. I would love to see more of him, but I think he's going to be here, so that's great.
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Jim Pete, we are lucky to have Jim Pete around.
Jim Pete's good, and Jim Pete's a
rarity.
No issues
with the local broadcast.
He will call it like he sees it, always. And I think that's not always easy to do. It's a little scary when you are going to go against the team that you call all the time. But I think he does it regularly, and he does a really good job.
Pete, you got any?
Yeah, they got to have somebody who's just really, really clever. I mean, the one thing that they're going to miss with Charles there is he's willing to say things that a lot of guys might not, right? And I think he's given it thought ahead of time so that he understands where he's going to have to maneuver after he's made some of the crazy statements that he makes. So, you know, there's something fun about him. Obviously, he's just that lovable guy because of who he is, you know. And I think as a player and then, of course, as an announcer, he's been phenomenal. I mean, he's just been a guy that we all want to listen to, and he's interesting. He and Shaq have the most incredible relationship I've ever seen. That's going to be missed as well. So, I don't know who can fill those shoes. I really don't, because it certainly isn't Reggie Miller. I mean, he's not even the best basketball player in his family. So we've got to figure out who's going to be.
He actively admits that, mind you. He has said that multiple times, that he is not the best basketball player in his family. I really like Jamal Crawford when I heard from him on the sideline for a couple of these games. I thought he had some interesting insights, and he wasn't very afraid to talk about it. We're running a little behind, guys, so why don't we hit the break and get into this last segment before the end of the hour.
Sounds good. How many hot dogs can you eat? You might have a chance to win the contest this year. We'll tell you why next.